I can't remember when it was, but a few months ago, somebody said to me, you didn't preach out of the Old Testament. Was it you, Jonathan? Somebody said, what's up with you didn't preach out of the Old Testament? So I thought I'd better correct that. And I thought we'd start with a bit of Exodus. So if you, any of you are thinking, where's Exodus? It's kind of the front of the book, second book in. Jules is nodding. Do you know what? What you believe about God shapes your life. What you believe about anything shapes you. Now, if you think God is kind of distant and kind of remote or uncaring, then that's what you will believe is going to happen to your life. Do you believe he kind of just set the world in motion and just said, that's it? Or do you believe that he's like a loving father? And a loving father that isn't overbearing, but a loving father that looks at you and keeps an eye on everything about your life. He doesn't push you this way and that, but he's there watching and caring. I heard a lovely illustration. There was an American, and he was walking through a train station, and he had this sudden desire for a particular hot dog. And he wanted a particular mustard on it. So he had this desire for this hot dog. He wanted this wonderful hot dog. The only problem was he was in Paris. And it was an American-style hot dog. So he prayed, Lord, I really got this desire. And someone bumped into him and said, oh, mate, I'm late for my train. Have this if you want to eat it. And rushed off. What was it? It was the very hot dog, the very type of hot dog, with the very mustard that he'd been praying about in Paris. And he was an American. Right? God loves you. God cares for you. This story is about that care. There was a man called Abraham. You remember Abraham. He had descendants. And God said to him, your descendants will become slaves for 400 years. Now, at the point that word is given, he has no children. He is an old man of 75 years. Can you believe he was even older than me? Some of you like. Now, Duncan said, actually, we as a family moved here in 2000. There was no church. There was no church plant. And I was like, and my family probably thought, what is Dad smoking? Whatever it was, it wasn't good. Because there was nothing. My daughter's laughing. Because we got here, there was nothing. Thank God. Duncan moved down a couple of years later to plant the church. He was like, hallelujah, I wasn't mad. So let's read the story about the deliverance of those slaves. Exodus 12:1. I'm going to jump so you can follow it in your Bibles, or you can hopefully follow it on the screen. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either sheep or goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. On that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Then Moses called all the leaders of Israel together and said to them, go pick out a lamb and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses. No one may go through the door until morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron. And that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Get out! Leave my people and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. That night the people of Israel left Ramesses and started for Succoth. There were about 600,000 men, plus all the women and children. The people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. On this night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of the land. Wow. Now, if you know the story about Jesus is there as our Passover lamb. And this story in the New Testament, this is the one that we refer back to. They say, this is the story. The Israelites are slaves. They have nothing. They have no hope. When you see those pictures, that almost, Duncan, thank you for those pictures, they're almost a perfect illustration, if I could have found one, of the Israelites. They have nothing. They're slaves. They have no strength. But God takes them out of the most powerful nation in the world at that time. Think about Egypt. Think about the pyramids. This was the great nation. This was, you know, today you'd probably think of the United States as the greatest nation in the land. But God says, I'm taking all the slaves out of that nation. Because it's his power. It's him. So I'm going to look at Jesus as a Passover lamb. And then I'm going to make some application for us as a church. So going a little bit quickly through this bit. But if you look at Exodus 12, you'll see, first thing was, it was prophesied. God made a prophecy that this salvation, this deliverance from slavery in Egypt would happen. So God said to, where are we? Next one, Jonathan, sorry. So in Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, your descendants will come out of the land. Jesus, our Passover lamb, God says to Abraham, Abraham gets a lot of press today, I will provide a lamb as a sacrifice for your sins. Before even there is any sense of Jesus thousands of years in the future, God says, I will provide a lamb. The context of this prophecy is Abraham is about to sacrifice his son, Isaac. God's told him, go sacrifice your son as an atonement. And Isaac says to him, well, there's wood, there's a sacrifice, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide a lamb. And thousands of years later, God provides a lamb, his own son. Next parallel. The Israelites are slaves in Egypt. We were slaves, as Romans 6 says, to sin. We are forgiven. We are taken out of that sin. But we did nothing to deserve that. Next one. Sorry, Jonathan. I'm jumping this bit quite quickly. We did nothing to deserve our salvation. We sung about that this morning. The Israelites did nothing to deserve that. They were slaves. What could they do? Absolutely nothing. Picking on Pete, because I like Pete. He didn't do anything to deserve salvation. Neither did Steve. We didn't, none of us. But God says, I am the one who redeems you. I am the one who saves you. All of God's grace is totally undeserved. Ephesians 2 says, God saves you by his grace. And you can't take any credit. Duncan can't, I can't. There's no credit for it. I'm saved by grace. Why? So what's that question? Why does God do all this? And the answer is very simple. Because of his love. Deuteronomy 7:7, it says,
It was because of his love for you. He's talking to the Israelites. He's saying to them, there's this huge nation. They were slaves. He's taken them out from Egypt. There's 2 million of them. And Moses turns to them and he says, you didn't deserve this. Just know it was because of God's love. God's love is why he did it. Next one. Now, Jesus is the perfect lamb. And I find Dave tells me not to ask if you've read this, but if you've ever read any, if you want an interesting book, you want to expand a bit more about the shepherds and the lambs in the Bible. There's a guy called Philip Keller. He was a shepherd. So he's not a theologian. He's writing as a shepherd. And he tells this story. And he unlocks what it means about lambs. And he says, as a shepherd, one of the things he hated was what he called the killing season. Because a lamb is born basically to die. You ever thought about that? Maybe you shouldn't. If you're, if there's any vegetarians in the room, you might want to leave. He says, lambs are little creatures. They're silent in the hands of their owners. They don't bleat or scream in protest. It's almost as if they quietly acquiesce to their own death. As the knife severs their jugular vein from which their lifeblood flows, there's not a sound. It is an innocent life. Live briefly, but poured out. They are born to die. Now, what's that got to do with this? That's the picture that you've got here. The Bible says that as lambs, God says you take a lamb and you kill it and you put its blood on the doorposts. You put the blood in our place. The blood was shed instead of us. And God uses the picture of the lamb on purpose. If you're feeling a bit uncomfortable, it's because, yeah, actually, that's good. Because Jesus was the lamb. He was silent before his slaughters, before those who killed him. He was beaten for us. He was born to die. That was why he came. Like a lamb. Lambs are born to die. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born for the purpose of dying on the cross instead of me, instead of you. And we should feel a sense of, oh, I don't like that. Well, that's okay, because he did it willingly. He did it with perfect trust in his Father, knowing that actually you would be the result. There's that tension, there's that shock aspect, but actually we need to delight in it, because God says it was for all of us that he did it. It was for every one of us. He chose to trust the Father. And it says, for the joy set before him, he enjoyed the shame of the cross. What's the joy set before him? You are. You were the joy. This church was the joy set before him. He came down to live, to die for you. You should be a little bit more excited. Maybe. What's that got to do? I just want to flip it, and I just want to apply it to us as a church. Let's go. How do we do trusting God? Well, I don't know. Slightly tough question, maybe. Think about these Egyptians. They were in this place. Now, it's a place of mixture. They are slaves. They have no freedom, kind of, or do they? But if you look into the story a little bit more, what you'll find is they were in a quite nice land. They were in a land called Goshen, which was rich and fertile. And when they come out of Egypt, they start moaning and going, well, we had nice cucumbers and garlic and melons when we were in Egypt. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not sure that's a good diet for me anyway. There's that sense of, well, we like that stuff over there. Yeah, we were slaves, but we like that bit. Now, as a church, we've moved. Some of us might think, well, I quite like the cinema. We had comfy seats. They're not orange, Duncan. It was in Finchley, and that's where I live. And others are like going, yes, it's Colindale, I love it. It's a mixture. But God said to the Israelites, he didn't kind of consult them and go, now, you Israelites, would you like to move on? He takes them out from Egypt to move them on. It wasn't a consultation. He just says, right, time to move. We've moved. And when they left Egypt, God led them. Exodus 13 says, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. So they saw God's leading. But there's this sort of strange verse at the beginning of Deuteronomy. It says, it's an 11-day journey, and I'm never going to get the right pronunciation. It's an 11-day journey. I've lost the right reference. But there was an 11-day journey, but it took them 40 years. You ever looked at that? It should have taken them 11 days, but it took them 40 years. Now, God didn't take them on a direct route. It took them 40 years because of their disobedience, but God was taking them to a better place. God took them on a route he chose, and he led them. Church, that's where we are. Do you know what? When we moved here in 2000, we were in a nice church. We had a nice building. We'd just gone into this new building. It could seat about 300. I don't know, the church was 200 or 300 strong. We had great fellowship. There were fantastic schools. The kids were in great schools. It was a really nice place. And God said, move and go to North London. And I knew my wife, Jill Bless, did not want to go to North London. But God said, move. So we moved. We moved to be part of this church. That's why we came. We wanted to see a new church here. God sometimes says, move. And you can go, well, I don't really want to. Or you can say, yes, Lord. God took them into a desert, but he took them into a desert to go to a better place. I'm not saying here's a desert, by the way. All right? But God moves us on sometimes, and we don't always understand why or where we're going. He says, move. And the key question is, do we trust him? Do we trust him? Jesus trusted his Father so much that he went to the cross to die for us. How much do we trust God who to guide us? Where's Chris? Chris Christodoulou. You still drive a coach? When you get on a... So you're going to get on a coach, right? You get on a coach, and who's actually going to get that coach where it's going? If it's Chris driving, it's Chris, right? Okay, now, any of you nervous passengers in cars like me? Oh, come on, own up a bit, fess up a bit here. I know I'm not the only one. You know, I'm in the passenger seat, and I've got a brake, accelerator, and steering wheel. Depends who's driving. Right, that's just ducking it. I'm sorry, that's ducking it. It means yes. Okay, I want to grab the steering wheel that I haven't got. And there's a danger sometimes when you're in a car or you're in a coach, you want to grab the steering wheel. And in your life, you say, I'm steering where I'm going. Problem is, you're on a coach. And God's driving. And I don't care how much you turn your imaginary steering wheel, you aren't going where you want to go. You can jump off and try and do so. I we'll pinch the story from Chris. You was driving up to Luton Airport one time up the M1, and I think, was it a lady asked to get off? I love this story, right? Okay. So he's driving up the M1, and he's getting up there, and a lady wants to get to Luton Airport. There's a traffic jam, and she says, can I get off on the M1? We can be like that. Who's driving the Trinity bus? Us or God? Do you want to get off on the M1? Or do you say, I'm on the bus and I'm going where God's taking me? Last slide. Proverbs 3. I love this proverb. If you don't know this one, learn it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And what's the next bit? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you what path to take. He will show you what path to take. He's driving the bus. He will get you there. He will get us there as a church. Cherry, can I grab you back? And Dee Dee, yeah? Revelation 5 has this wonderful picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain since before the foundation of the world. And everybody worships Jesus. All I want us to do is stand. And I want us to sing the last two verses of How Great Thou Art. Because in those last two verses, you see two things. You see Jesus, the Son of God, slain before the foundation of the world on a cross. And we worship him who died in our place. But we also see the end game, where we're going. He will come again in glory. So let's stand. Let's sing this.